Hi, good afternoon, listeners. I have a fintech leader with me today on the program. Join me and let's together welcome Lalit Mehta. Lalit runs Decimal Technologies. At the outset, Lalit, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Rohit. Thank you so much.
Fridays are a tough day, but thank you so much for your time. Let's get the conversation up and running. If you could, for our listeners, introduce what Decimal Technology does and is about, and what does Lalit Mehta do at Decimal Technology?
Sure. So Decimal Technologies is a company which is about 12 years in age. We call ourselves a young startup. We are focused on entire financial services industry through the whole idea of Decimal Technologies is to transform the fintech, or like not just fintech, but entire financial services industry in their digital initiatives. The whole idea is that the experience that customers get through these financial services organizations has got a much larger scope of improvement. We were not there where we should be. So the entire initiative of Decimal is to transform the digital experience of customers of financial services. And we do it through a low-code, no-code platform called Vahana, where, you know, whether it's onboarding experience, it's video banking, or experience of, people kind of, buying products, financial products from these organizations, is what we transform through digital channels. And I, at Decimal, I'm like the co-founder CEO. I manage product, customer relationships, and the strategy for Decimal.
You run the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So is it okay for me to decipher it and for our listeners, say you basically develop for a lot of fintech companies? Is that the right interpretation?
We develop for fintech is a word which is used in many different ways. I would say that we work for anyone who's either distributing financial products or who's manufacturing financial products and is trying to acquire customers for financial products. So fintechs, of course, yes. We do work for fintechs. We work for banks. We work for NBFCs. We work for any firm which is in the space of distributing financial products.
Right. So you're my fintech expert of the day today. And I've been, in my heart keeping this question. Lalit, we've seen fintech has grown like a wildfire, to be precise, especially in last 20 odd months, 24 months, and maybe COVID has steadfast the growth. But generally speaking, from a leader's perspective, what's making fintech so hot, especially in a country like India? I mean, you look at, everyone has betted so big on fintech. I mean, UPI is a classic case. Government has been making a lot of announcements every day, new unicorns emerging, especially in the sector. Yeah. What's working for the fintech sector in India?
Sure, if you look at one biggest virtue of India as an economy is the scale. So India as an economy is such a large-scale economy that conventional methods of reach would take years and decades for India to reach every person to fulfill the financial goals, be it goals of saving or goals related to debt needs. I think all of those goals, aspirations of us Indians are quite high. The scale is so large that the conventional system of distributing or reaching, making these financial products reach the customer would have been far too long. The only unconventional way of making sure that these goals of individuals and enterprises or SMEs are taken care of is through kind of digital channels. And digital channels which can focus on specific products and specific segment of customers. So for a bank or a financial services organization, it's not easy to be that nimble and kind of segment the market in such a way and address a specific segment and go do that digitally. So fintechs, what fintechs kind of do very differently as compared to banks or NBFCs is their entire focus on the product and the segment is very sharp, and their ability to execute that distribution is much, much faster, much agile, much better experience. And that is the only way that could have solved the problem for India's growth of like reaching $5 trillion GDP. I don't think usual method of distribution of banks and NBFCs could have done it. So I think this is the best that could have happened to Indian economy. And I think the bet is very right bet. The bet that, you know, people are taking on fintechs is the right bet, I would say. And this is a must have thing for Indian economy at this stage.
No, I completely agree. Having said that, I still would want you to address, are there challenges in building for a country like India, ranging from, I mean, we've seen language barrier still is one of the challenges that a lot of development is addressing currently, matching the requirements, talking to their native languages, etc. Are there interesting challenges in building solutions for India from a fintech perspective?
Definitely, yes. And I think one thing that you pointed out, language, I would say there are the variety of cultures, languages, personalities that exist in India is far too many compared to economy like US. You know, if you compare to economy like US, where it's very uniform, you know, you travel from New York to San Francisco, it's pretty much the same. In India, language being one, the entire saving habits, the entire habits of the speed at which people want to grow, people's risk is something which is an individual's subject, but I would still say that, you know, our different states would have different perception of risk. So I think all of those things make it very, I would say, difficult and also an opportunity, because each state or each of these segments is fairly large. That's why an opportunity. But otherwise, yeah, it is difficult if you want to address the entire nation. You'll have to build a lot of variety. You'll have to take care of common denominator. Then you'll have to think of specialization that you want to kind of bring in to address for specific segments. So the kind of complexity of systems in India is far too high as compared to what you see in US market. So I think, and of course the scale is good, because, you know, without scale, it would not be as interesting a area. So the variety of personalities, the variety of customer base is something which brings in complexity. That's one. Another thing which brings in complexity is all fintechs need to integrate with the principals, the balance sheet players, which is banks or NBFCs. There again, the variety of systems, the variety of organizations, starting from PSU banks to a small finance bank to a private sector bank or an NBFC, that variety of systems, the kind of, you know, the overwhelming business that each of the financial services organization is going through, their ability to focus on addressing the fintech needs gets very little focus. It doesn't get focus as much as it should. So I think these two things, on the customer side, the variety of customers in terms of their personalities, risk perception, language is kind of very different. That makes it complicated. On the other side, the systems that we have in banks, NBFCs, the maturity of those systems and banks' ability to focus on these areas, this is what makes it fairly complex to kind of scale up a fintech, I would say.
Right. You use two terms, and I would want you to address both of them. One, you said there's an opportunity and therefore a lot of investment is happening, plus creating it at a scale comes with a risk. I mean, something to this tune is what you said. I want you to address, of course, with opportunity being there, there are also challenges that leaders like you are facing about security, data theft, and so on and so forth. And with you know, I mean, wrong to say, but bottom of the pyramid trying to join fintech bandwagon. Do you think these threats are becoming more imminent? And if yes, what are leaders like you trying to do to educate customer or avoid these threats?
So if you look at, I think it's one of the very areas of concern that you've brought in. I think it's very important to talk about that. So if you look at that, threat is kind of real and it's imminent. Both are real. So now if you look at the issue is that why this, you know, this the entire technology landscape is pretty similar what we have worldwide. And if you look at scale of transactions, India's scale of transactions is definitely larger than most of the countries, but countries like US and China have seen larger scale. Same technology stack addressing larger scale of transactions has already been proven. I think the way of working in India is something which is going through a transition or needs to go through a transition. So India as a country, culturally, we are more always tempted to grab the opportunity, quickly address, quickly solve. Our ability to plan for future, be it, you know, planning for infrastructure or running an organization. I think culturally now that change is happening. When we build roads for 5 years, and we are out of infrastructure in 3 years. So similarly, when we build companies, I think we don't design the companies, we don't plan the companies for the kind of scale that we want to achieve. We want to achieve a scale of millions of customers, but you know, the kind of investment that goes into design, plan and process implementation or system implementation is not kind of really ready for that kind of thing. I think I've worked with Indian companies and I've worked with US as well. I've worked in US for a couple of years and you know, there is a stark difference in the kind of investment that goes into things which are for future. I think we're going through a transition, we'll get there. Not that, you know, we won't get there, but you know, as of now, I think that's what the entire discipline. One thing is that, you know, entire investment in planning, design and systems. Second, the entire discipline, the entire enforcement of processes that we do, for us, we end up trivializing a lot of stuff. We end up trivializing the processes and policies that we create, which doesn't happen in, you know, economies like US. So I think that's one kind of, you know, what do you call, flip side of a fast growth. That's a flip side of large aspiration and fast growth that we Indians look for. On the technology side, so one is that these things need to be addressed. On the technology side, I think technology is evolving every day in terms of implementing better security measures. The good thing is that technology is able to keep pace with the demand. Technology is able to keep pace. I don't think technology is lying behind in terms of what security levels we need and what technology can offer. I think there is no gap there. The gap is largely in the implementation, the way we implement that. So now I think organizations which are serious about, and good thing is the regulator is bringing in a lot of focus. So regulator is kind of, you know, I've seen the entire focus on information security, the processes, the kind of systems that regulator has shown in last couple of years is phenomenal. That wasn't there earlier. Now I think that's driving the right change that needs to happen in fintechs or BFSI companies. So that should happen. I think we should be there soon. And technology-wise, we're already there. I don't think we are lagging behind compared to any evolved economy. We're pretty much there.
Since you've put in a lot of effort in talking about technology and how it's changing the landscape of fintech, technologies that leaders like you are betting upon for next 2, 3, 5 years, are there visible tech solutions that you are envisaging will change the fintech industry for better again?
Definitely yes. If you look at, so some of the technology areas, so we are big on low code, no code. That's the first thing that we are betting on, low code, no code. And we have created internal low code, no code platform for speed to market, for maintainability, for agility. So that's low code, no code is one technology area which kind of, you know, comes on top for us. Other couple of technologies which are important for us, which is kind of, you know, if you look at cloud, is kind of that's now, I would say, it's more like a ubiquitous thing for fintechs. Cloud is not new anymore for fintech area, but yeah, cloud is another area of focus for us. DevOps. DevOps is another very important area which we are focusing on big time. then, you know, the other than these three, like entire area of authentication, using things like voice, things like video, and images is kind of another area which is going to play a huge role in fintech. Because, you know, if the delivery has to happen in a virtual mode, which is either through audio, video, or it's through self-service journeys, then entire authentication and verification of transactions, which needs to happen online in kind of online kind of scenario, we need to create more factors other than, you know, Aadhaar, OTP, and biometric. So today we rely heavily on biometric, but we need to go beyond that. There we recently launched AU0101, which is video banking. So AU video banking is done by Decimal. And there, if you look at, we have tried to, and AU invested big time in that, where we are trying to kind of, you know, talk of using technologies around video for authentication, engagement, customer experience. So video and technologies around authentication are going to play another significant role. One more technology, which is definitely a big deal, is blockchain. Blockchain is, I can't miss that. The area where we focus, their blockchain has not started to play as immense a role as it can. So blockchain kind of, you know, playing a role in KYC is something which is not big in India yet, but it will be very soon. It should be. So blockchain and transactions, blockchain and contracts is already kind of playing major role. But blockchain and KYC, which is identity and access management, is going to be a big deal again. That should get more focus in some time to come.
On the blockchain, and so where does Lalit Mehta stand on the issues of cryptocurrency, especially in Indian context? What are your thoughts there?
So cryptocurrency is a very, like, you know, it's an area which is kind of, it's a sword which can definitely do the job, but, you know, you got to be use it carefully. I would say that's how I would kind of talk about cryptocurrency. So one is that cryptocurrency is a real thing. There is no way of evading from it or not accepting it. I think the quicker we accept it and create policy, norms, and regulations around it, better it is. That is one thing that I would say. So, you know, sometime back, cryptocurrency was something which was a little far away. It was like, you know, maybe just a few thousand miles away from us. Now cryptocurrency is in our home. You know, cryptocurrency is something, you know, which is how soon regular transactions start on cryptocurrency is only a matter of time. So the only thing which needs to be addressed cryptocurrency for it to be used beneficially for economic growth is right set of regulations around it. So right set of regulations, right set of policies around cryptocurrency is something which is very important. I think their regulator, I'm sure regulator is doing a lot on that side as well. We will have to see some movement on that side. We'll have to see some movement in that. That is one area which can definitely kind of change the entire finance world behaves. The entire finance world works today. So while it brings in a lot of flexibility, scalability, what do you call the entire freedom of doing transactions without having too many intermediaries, is something, you know, which makes it far more efficient, far more efficient. At the same time, it brings in all those risks which are related to sovereign risk, which are more like, you know, national security risk, which is very, very important. So I think until we have those policies, we'll have to kind of, you know, use it very carefully. And once the policies are there, then we should use it to kind of propel the economic growth that we are looking for.
Policy is what is stopping us from the use of cryptocurrency in our daily lives. My last question, when I was preparing for whatever I was trying to do and I looked up you on, especially on LinkedIn, there was a mention of Olive School, and I thought it was an interesting idea. Can you talk more about Olive School for our listeners and what you're trying to do there?
Sure. So, Bharat, I come from a small town, and, you know, I went to boarding school when I was 7 years. So I was in class 3 when I went to boarding schools because my town didn't have good schools. So once, you know, one thought that always lived in my mind, and, you know, my dad's mind, both of us always used to talk about this. You know, why can't small towns offer education which is at par with metros? And, you know, I realized one thing. While we could go to good schools, and, you know, we could go to good universities, and we did well professionally, But, you know, socially, the schools, the students who come from small towns, they always find it a little difficult to kind of adjust socially. I've lived in New York for 4 years, and, you know, I've lived in Delhi pretty much all my life. But it was always a little, there was always an inhibition for us to kind of, you know, become part of the fabric of these cities like New York and Delhi. So one thing that we wanted to do was that, you know, can we create something which kind of makes life of students when they kind of get into their professional lives a far more easier, not just from academic standpoint, but from the standpoint of getting into the fabric of metros, getting into the fabric of mainstream of these places where they work. So we started Olive School. Fatehabad is a small town where we have one branch of Olive School, which is kind of, where we started international board. So a school, a place like Fatehabad, it was CBSE International at that time. So we started that board. The whole idea was to kind of, you know, take the best in education to those towns, and not just the academic education, education in the holistic sense. So the whole idea is the entire activity based, entire exposure. So one thing that, you know, we did a little research, and we found that, you know, one area which makes people successful is grit. So if people have grit, then they are successful. And now what develops grit was the kind of, you know, the ability of the entire growth mindset is something which builds grit. Now, how do you bring in that growth mindset? Growth mindset can only come in if you have right kind of exposure. So if, you know, if people in small towns would know that something of this kind can be done with cryptocurrency or in aerodynamics or in some area, then only they start to kind of aspire for that. The whole idea was to kind of, you know, take people to help them build their aspirations at a scale, build their aspirations at par with what people dream in New York or in London. That was the whole idea. So these are not expensive schools. We tried to keep these schools in affordable range. And these schools are kind of, you know, the objective is to deliver holistic education with the right kind of exposure that prepare the students and children for the fabric where they would have to work in the future.
Well, this is plain amazing. And I really hope you open up an Olive School in the entire country. I mean, it's the idea whose time has genuinely come now. And especially with the tier 2, tier 3 towns bustling like anything. So I think it's a right platform for students from those towns to learn and experience the education as it happens in maybe metro. Thank you, Lalit, for talking to us. Look forward to have you more often than this.
Thank you so much, Rohit. Thank you.